Christopher Springman, and this is Body Language. What is it about the O word that drives people crazy? A word so polarizing, so divisive, that it pushes people into separate emotional corners where they really get stuck. Well, that's the question I'm asking our next guest, Dr. Hilary Tindall, MD, the physician author of the book, Up, How Positive Outlook Can Transform Our Health and Aging. Welcome to Body Language, Dr. Tindall.
Thank you, Christopher. Thank you for having me.
And what is the O, dreaded O word that seems to drive people crazy, especially readers of the New York Times?
The O word is optimism, defined by research psychologists as the expectation of good things to come, positive future events.
How does the O word, optimism, relate to your wonderful book? And by the way, it kept me up all night, Up.
The O word, I guess it could be optimism or outlook. The book is not just a book about optimism and health. It's actually a book about outlook and health. So I guess maybe it would be good to spend a minute defining those two terms and how they relate to each other.
Please do.
So outlook is much broader, and it's a term that we all use in the vernacular, but I chose it to, it's a non-scientific term, but I chose it to describe many aspects of our personality, our character traits. Optimism is one of them. Pessimism is another, the tendency to expect negative events in the future. But it also encompasses things like the degree to which we tend to feel anger or tend to be neurotic or in distress. So there are so-called positive aspects of outlook and so-called negative aspects of outlook. And what we're finding and what we've seen over the past 20 to 30 years is that these aspects of, again, our character or personality, our outlook, are strongly related to our physical health, and that that relationship persists from the time we are children to the time we are older adults.
You describe yourself as a, quote, struggling optimist, perhaps a recovering optimist. Why are you struggling with this? And the book delineates and really defines a struggle, and frankly, those are some of the best parts, because they're issues that we all confront.
Exactly. And at first I was kind of embarrassed to be a struggling optimist, and then I thought, well, who better to write a book about how outlook and optimism in particular affects health than someone who doesn't live there all the time?
Initially, I believe, in reading the book, I was fascinated about a very dramatic, life-threatening heart condition that you experienced when you were in college at age 20. Did this event move you to the place where you are now and perhaps ultimately inspire you to become a physician?
Well, it certainly moved me to the place where I am now. There's no question of that. Although I wasn't really conscious of words like optimism and pessimism, at least scientifically, I was not aware of them as a 20-year-old college student. I was already on my way to medical school, and I had been fascinated with biology of all mammals since I was a little girl. So I was already on my way there, and I actually even got a recommendation from the cardiologist who did my catheterization.
Did it occur to you at that point that you might die?
Yes, it did, because my surgeon told me that.
Oh, really?
I did exhibit some signs of optimism unwittingly, some very strong character traits of getting the facts, assessing the problem, figuring out what might go wrong, where were the places where I could do something about it, mobilizing a lot of help from friends, family, professors, etc.
Now, it's interesting that you should mention that, because I believe that optimism, the O word, is in great part driven by really effective communication with others, and also enrolling, engaging people in your struggle by, frankly, asking for help, and you know, and hoping that these important people in your life exhibit some empathy and compassion and sympathy, or just listen.
I think that's very true, and that really gets to the heart of how misunderstood the word is, and I'm fond of saying I wish we could just ditch the whole word optimism. But when you go back to the science and you see how research psychologists define optimism, which, again, is the expectation of positive future events, and I'm referring to a validated scale that's used in research studies. It's called the Life Orientation Test. People who score high on that test, meaning they score as optimists, they actually, in not research that I've done, but in a body of research over the last 25 years or so, they show themselves to be expert copers, to hit problems head on, to have very strong social relationships, both with their spouse or primary relationship, and then other aspects of the social network. So they actually exhibit really positive problem-solving skills, what most of us would call realistic problem-solving skills.
Our guest is Dr. Hilary Tindall, MD, the physician author of the book Up UP, How Positive Outlook Can Transform Our Health and Aging. Dr. Tindall, is it possible to track scientifically physical changes in the body by someone who's practicing, who's exhibiting a positive and optimistic attitude?
The strongest body of research that we have is what's called epidemiology. So it's the study of the trait, the optimistic trait, in populations and how it relates to health. And here's what I mean by that. Many studies, including those that I have conducted, have taken large groups of people. They've filled out a questionnaire at the beginning of the study and have shown themselves to be wherever they fall on the optimism scale, either optimistic, pessimistic, or somewhere in between. And then once these individuals are followed over 10, 20, 30, 40 years, the optimists, people who scored as optimistic at the beginning of the study, show themselves to be much healthier individuals by the end of the study, even decades later, such as having fewer heart attacks, fewer strokes, and actually living longer.
I'm quoting from a letter that is responding to a New York Times article by your colleague, Dr. Chen. The writer says, there is no scientific evidence to support this theory that, quote, positive thinking will affect medical outcomes, as in the case of the diabetic patient cited in the article. Then he goes on to discuss how his sister had metastatic cancer, one of the most positive people I've ever met. She took really good care of her health. So many of these letters will fall into a single category of, why do bad things happen to good people? I did everything right in my life, and guess what? I still got sick and died. People seem very disappointed by that.
Here's how I would answer that from a statistical point of view. Optimists do get heart attacks, and they get strokes, and they die, just like pessimists. Conscientious people, people with other positive traits such as openness or a very strong sense of purpose in life, all those people get sick and die. So the end is already decided for all of us. But what the difference is in the way that these people live their lives. So optimists, for example, tend to live much healthier lives, and meaning that they smoke less, they exercise more, they eat a healthy diet. If they start smoking, there's evidence that they're more likely to quit. So these traits actually kind of permeate our lives and our health, and thereby they can reduce, we can use them to reduce our risk of medical illness or death. That doesn't mean eliminate it. There's nothing on planet Earth that I know of so far that can completely eliminate risk. We're talking about risk reduction.
And reducing risk in our life is Dr. Hilary Tindall, MD, the physician author of the book Up, How Positive Outlook Can Transform Our Health and Aging. Dr. Tindall, it's been a joy having you on Body Language.
Thank you so much.
For Body Language on Radio MD, I'm Christopher Springman, and remember, be well. Would you agree with that, Doctor?
Absolutely. Be well.